Great to have you with us this morning on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Again, I hope you're having a terrific Thanksgiving week and maybe getting the long weekend or even more. That's great. And if you're out for the school break, your school, your district is off this week, I have a task for you if you're a teacher or a student who could share with us how Thanksgiving is taught at your school, or if you're a teacher, how you teach it to your students. I'd love to hear about it. 866-893-KPECC, the legend of a three-day Thanksgiving feast in November of 1621 between starving religious pilgrims from England and the native Wampanoag tribe in what's now Plymouth, Massachusetts, may well have some truth to it, but scholars have been debating the full context of Thanksgiving, how it's being taught, and the way that we celebrate it. With us is historian and anthropologist Peter Mancall of USC. He specializes in Native American and early American histories. Professor Mancall, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Larry. I'm delighted to be on.
Let's start with what we think actually occurred in this feast between the Native Americans in what's now Massachusetts and these pilgrims from England. What do we have evidence for?
Well, we know that the English pilgrims arrive in Plymouth, or really New Plymouth, in the fall of 1620. They have a pretty tough winter. A number of them pass away. And then they start to do somewhat better. So the spring and into the fall of 1621, you know, they bring in a pretty good harvest. And what we know is we have two slight records that sometime in that fall, the pilgrims got together with local Wampanoags and sat down to some sort of feast. According to the record, they ate deer. I think we all presume that they ate turkey, which was fairly common in the area. And beyond that, that's almost the sum total of the documents that we have for that first meeting for the origins of Thanksgiving that we have now. There are other historians, other people who argue that the first Thanksgiving of English colonists happened earlier in Virginia, but the one that we think about, the one that we celebrate, the one that's become the iconic Thanksgiving is what happened in Plymouth in 1621.
And what do we know about the relationship between members of the Wampanoag tribe and the immigrants who came from England? What degree of cooperation was there versus rivalry?
Well, I think we have to, you know, set this into the context of other English migrants who'd come to North America earlier. And because I think what happens in Plymouth actually follows a pattern. And the pattern is that in this case, the English pilgrims arrive and they realize in order to survive, they have to have some sort of positive relations with the local peoples who are there. The pilgrims are the unintended beneficiaries, the unlikely or accidental beneficiaries of an epidemic that had come through southern New England from 1617 to 1619, which made the area less populous than it had been earlier. And at first, I think what we can reconstruct from the documents are people trying to sort of get along with each other. Over time, as the colonies grew, and we see this in Virginia, just like we see it in New England, as colonists become more numerous and they put more pressure on indigenous peoples, on native peoples in southern New England in this case, then tensions arise. And sort of the part of the what historians wrestle with is how do we get from, say, 1620, 1621 to 1637, when we have the first large-scale war in New England between English colonists and local peoples.
And is much of that just because the number of immigrants coming from England starts swelling and you've got a resource issue and you know, friction with the Native Americans? Is much of it a numbers factor?
Well, part of it is a numbers factor. I mean, that's a great way of phrasing the question. Part of it is a numbers factor, and part of it actually tells us something about the ways that different populations sort of dealt with each other. So one thing we know about this part of North America is before Europeans arrive, Native peoples in this area do not have livestock in the way that we think of that today. And so the English come and they bring cows and sheep and pigs and horses. And when they first arrive, that's when the English first arrive, it's fairly time consuming to put up fences. So they just let these animals browse freely. And a number of these animals tended to then wander off, and they wandered into native people's fields. They destroyed native pigs, destroyed clam banks. And so we sort of see encroachments, I should say, on indigenous, for lack of a word, property or resources that needed. Over time, native peoples do adopt some of these animals. But part of what leads up to the hostility in the 1630s seems to be cases of trespass. That is, whether it's human trespass, of people going onto lands, of English colonists going onto lands that they shouldn't have, or native peoples going into English property that the English believe they have then purchased and have to themselves, or animals crossing these boundaries, you know, all the time. And so basically, I think, you know, the best way to sort of step back from this, say, there were a lot of these small scale infractions going on, and eventually they built up into a lot of mutual suspicion on the part of Wampanoags and other Algonquin-speaking peoples that the English were there to take their property, and suspicion on the part of the colonists that the natives were going to gang up against them and attack them. And those mutual suspicions exploded in 1637.
We're talking with USC Professor of History and Anthropology, Peter Mancall. He specializes in Native American and early American history, so he's the perfect person to talk with us about what we know historically about Thanksgiving and the feast that's believed to have inspired the later creation of the national holiday. If you have questions for Peter about this period, we're at 866-893-KPCC. But I'm also really interested in hearing about how Thanksgiving is taught, about sharing, about cross-cultural appreciation, about the way that the migrants who came from England and the Native American members of the Wampanoag Nation, how they related at this time. How is this taught? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Professor Mancall, how is Thanksgiving typically taught today?
Well, that's a good question, and you know, this is where, you know, being a professor with college students, I'm, you know, not exactly on the front lines. But every summer, I do meet, along with a small group of early American historians, we meet with a group of about 30 school teachers who come to Los Angeles, and we talk about the early colonial period. We talk about the period really from about the time Columbus comes through the founding of Jamestown and the founding of New Plymouth. And in those conversations, which are really is a great dialogue, I get the sense that there are a lot of teachers who really want to sort of integrate the newest scholarship that historians are providing and discussing about sort of, you know, in some sense, what really happened, or at least what we really think happened. And they're wrestling with, you know, really longstanding embedded traditions that are not so much politically conservative, but sort of culturally conservative. You know, people have certain ideas about Thanksgiving. So typically you'll still hear teachers, and maybe some of your callers, some call in and talk about this, you'll still hear teachers say that they have the kids put their hand on a piece of construction paper and do an outline of their fingers and make a turkey. And there are probably still people out there who remember dressing up maybe as pilgrims on the one hand and as Wampanoags on the other hand. I mean, you can go online to Google and do a search, and you can find a lot of these people have taken pictures of how they've dressed up. I think one thing that historians want to do is not tell people how to celebrate the holiday, but to sort of say, maybe we've reached a point, or let's hope we've reached a point, where let's try to talk about this in a historically accurate sense, and let's try to be culturally sensitive, and let's not try to depict people in ways that they didn't look like or ways that they didn't sound like. And let's see if we can use the historical record to provide something more accurate as a basis for how we want to talk about this national holiday. I mean, the holiday itself is a 19th century creation. It's only a national holiday as of 1863. So the holiday is long after the events in Plymouth in 1621.
And I think you could argue it could even exist independently of historic events if the purpose of the holiday is to celebrate thankfulness and for people to think about the blessings that they have, either from being Americans or their family or their friends, whatever, however they define the things for which they're happy. 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're looking forward to Thanksgiving on Thursday by looking back at the source material for the story of Thanksgiving with members of the Wampanoag tribe in what's now Massachusetts, feasting with the immigrants who came from England, pilgrims meeting and having this famous feast. What do we see from the historical record? And then also, how has the holiday evolved? Laura, in Redondo Beach, I understand you teach kindergarten. How do you use this with your students?
Well, you know, it's been a controversial thing in my own mind and heart because I wanted to do it well, and I've been doing it for a very long time, and we always have done the little feast, and I've reconsidered all of that, and what I try to do is really present as balanced a view as I can. So I teach the kids that indeed the Wampanoag were helpful to the pilgrims and that mutual cooperation is good and mutual support is good and kindness and good is good, and that initially this was all true. But then I remember I teach very little children, so
yes.
It's very simple. But then I also say to them that eventually, with those numbers, as you folks talked about, increasing, it did seem like they were saying, we love your land, we love your homes, and now we're going to need to move you off a little bit. And I asked them, even five-year-olds can consider how that might feel to them, to have someone that you've shared with and taken, you know, been supportive of, to then start encroaching. And then I kind of leave it to parents, and I ask them to please open these conversations with their children. I just try to present a balanced view, that it wasn't all, you know, fun and games, so to speak, and that these are serious issues that have arisen because of this.
But there's still an ideal to convey, and it sounds like you do that as well as in an age-appropriate way, trying to give a more holistic look. Professor Peter Mancall, UCLA, what do you think about Laura's approach with her kindergartners?
Well, I think her approach is terrific. I think it's very important for us when we try to teach these events to recognize that we don't have a lot of documentary evidence, that we come to this with these very strong cultural traditions. And I think it is really important. If one of the lessons that comes to this is that we have to respect each other's traditions, I mean, I think that's very important. I think respect is a hugely important thing, and it is worth giving thanks about, you know, on this holiday. It is complicated because, you know, I think if you deviate or if one deviates from a norm, you know, I mean, I'm not a teacher of small children. You know, if one deviates from a norm, I would imagine that there could be parents who are thinking, why isn't Thanksgiving, this old American holiday, being taught in the way that I knew it when I was a kid? So I think we have to recognize, all of us, that the way we think about the past evolves over time. And the easiest example for us in California, among other places, is to think, okay, what happened to the holiday that we used to call Columbus Day and is now Indigenous Peoples Day? I mean, that holiday was celebrated by many Americans for a long time until about 1992, when, you know, as one critic pointed out, Columbus got mugged on the way to his own party. And now Columbus Day in many parts of America is fading away, being replaced by something else. What's going to happen with Thanksgiving? Is Thanksgiving going to have a similar trajectory, or is Thanksgiving going to be sort of divorced from that and sort of remain, you know, in some sort of pristine, you know, bubble as an unchanging event? And I think that is a question historians can't answer.
So real quickly, I need sort of the thumbnail sketch of this, but when was Thanksgiving created as a national holiday, and how was it tied to this feast event?
So, Thanksgiving as a national holiday is created in 1863 when Abraham Lincoln sort of succumbs to this public campaign that was led by a woman named Sarah Jephesus Hale. And he decides, okay, there should be Thanksgiving. So this is in the middle of the Civil War. You know, Lincoln obviously sees some advantage to sort of saying, okay, let's think back. Let's sort of give praise to God as he thought about it, they thought about it at the time. I mean, that's the specific origins. It had been celebrated in different places. There have been regional celebrations, but as a national holiday, it actually dates to this very fraught moment in our history when North and South were still fighting each other. And, you know, I think you could say a civil war story. You could say, well, the tides of war have changed somewhat by then. But I think it was an effort to say, okay, this is a war-torn country. We need to find a way forward. And this sort of way that it's to think about a day of Thanksgiving and to link it to what seemed rather, in the histories of the time, rather gentle moment of the 1620s seemed appropriate.
Let's talk with Nicole in Oak Park. Nicole, what did your school do, or what does it do for Thanksgiving?
Yes, so I found out that on the second grade, they had a very nice idea of celebrating the heritage because we have a quite diverse group of kids from diverse backgrounds. And it was lovely to have a spread, each brought food from their own home country or parents' country, wore traditional stuff, and their concept was also related to that. And I thought that speakers pointing out as the teacher that times have changed and people are different, but there's always a way to come together and learn how to get along. So I thought that celebration of heritage during the Thanksgiving time was really nice.
Yeah, and it's interesting because of people bringing their different foods. It's sort of a celebration of immigration as well, and mixing of different peoples in the United States. Nicole, I appreciate that very much. Thank you so much. I want to thank Professor Peter Mancall, professor of history and anthropology at USC. He specializes in Native American and early American histories. We have much more to come on the second hour of Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. And speaking of this being a holiday week, tomorrow, 11 o'clock, Film Week, coming a couple days early because of all the holiday films that are coming out this week. We don't want you to miss those reviews. Wednesday at 11, it's Film Week.